close your eyes and imagine rolling hills and orchards just as far as you could see. To the right, you'd have pears. They have white blossoms. Apricots had sort of a peach-colored blossom. And the smell from these blossoms is just, you can't even find words. And during the blossoming time, you have the mustard growing up from the ground. And I'm pretty short. And as a child, I would run into the mustard and, you know, it would be over my head. And so I'd lay down and I'd see yellow, pink, white, and then the blue sky. And it's just to see. And also grapes. There are lots of grapes there. To see color, the natural color of the food and the fruit that's grown. It's really quite a beautiful sight.
So I sing you a song. Maybe I'll travel. Winds glide me over the Rockies towards home. Find me alive.
I was told from as long as I can remember that I was a Mexican American. I never really quite understood what that meant. Once in school, being asked what my nationality was, I replied, Catholic. Because I guess that's what I thought I was. My nationality was Catholic, Christianity. And it wasn't till much later that I understood that the reason I felt so different was because I wasn't the Mexican. I was told that my father was an Indian and an Aztec. Originally, I was told my mother, Spanish, originally from Spain. It wasn't till just recently that I found out that my mother is not from Spain, that she's Mayan. I'm on the road, a search. For who I am. I guess I've always been on this road, but not knowing. But the fields, growing up in the fields of California, is one place I will always remember because it was open. I felt very one with the earth, the trees, and the skies. Something I wish my children could experience as well.
The Rockies towards home, and find me a lover I can lay next to, and maybe then I'll lose the pain.
Sonny Moreno Primo, born Carmen Moreno, third child and only daughter of Jesus and Gregoria Lopez Moreno, migrant farm workers in Northern California. Orphaned at age 7, raised by 2 older brothers, left home at 17, attended continuation school in Berkeley, California, cast as Chrissy in the original San Francisco production of Hair and in the 1975 New York production. Performed and toured Europe with La Mama Theater Company, appeared on Broadway in The Leaf People, a founding member of the music group Pura Fe and Sonny, and a member of the board of directors of the American Indian Community House. Pura Fe. Born Pura Fe Antonia Crescioni in 1959 in New York City, the daughter of a Tuscarora mother and a Venezuelan father, preceded on her mother's side by 4 generations of 7 singing sisters, attended Lincoln Square Academy for Children of Performing Artists, studied with the American Ballet Theater and Martha Graham, sang with Duke Ellington's orchestra, appeared on Broadway in numerous productions. A founding member of the singing group Pura Fay and Sunny, and a member of the board of directors of the American Indian Community House.
Guatanal, Guatanal, the Noose River. I'm going home, going home. North Carolina is crying in my soul. Creator, I'm reaching out to you. Tell them on the other side that they are alive within my soul. Return their prayers that run through my veins. Return the land and heal her pain. The hidden truth, tell the world a story untold. I'm going home, going home. North Carolina is crying in my soul. Where the Neuse River runs through a land.
It took 33 years to finally get home. A place that I knew in my heart. A place that I remember. It's very familiar. All these years in New York City, always very foreign to me. And I looked at my mother's face through the years and my grandparents' faces. Real Indian faces. They don't look like anybody in New York City, only me. We were different. We didn't fit with anybody else. I just wanted to go home because I knew it was where I belonged, where I came from.
Tell them that I know.
Well, we got back there and we saw lots of old plantations. Looked like it had been left there from the time my great-grandparents left. Old houses where a lot of my relatives lived, and they served masters as slaves. And it was all a mixture of African people, Tuscarora Indians, and Scots-Irish. And we met so many people down in the different townships who were related to every one of them. Old people that could tell you great old stories. They knew why we came, and they're hoping that we tell the world about something that happened there, and especially the war in 1712. It was a huge war where the British came in, and down there by the Neuse River, there must have been at least 20 different tribes, and we're talking thousands and thousands of people that lived there. Well, they came in and they started enslaving the people and sending them all over the place, into the Caribbean, to England. They massacred many, and they enslaved the rest, and that was my family. See, back then, they also erased on the census records. After slavery had been abolished, you would never find any Indian on a census record, not in North Carolina, never. You are either colored or mulatto or black or white. And no matter what the truth was, the census man would never write Indian. If you said you were Indian, you were truly executed. And there are stories of Tuscarora people hiding in people's basements. Also, a lot of them did not use the word Tuscarora anymore. That got lost. You said Cherokee or other things. Mulatto, back then, the meaning of mulatto was either black and white or Indian and white. Just meaning that you're a mixed blood. If you were not white, you were colored. That was another thing that they wrote. So through the years, they just ingrained on these people that you were not white, but you were also not Indian. So I don't know how to explain it. There's just a lot of shame in my family and in many families. And I just don't want to have to feel that way. I just want to wipe it off me, and I'd be more ashamed to be ashamed of who I am. And all I want to do is just make it better. and try to reverse and start changing so my children won't feel the way my family did, that they'll be able to talk proudly of who they are and start bringing out the old traditions and stories from the old ones before the war. And that's what we're doing. You know, growing up all these years in New York City, being Indian, you are not around Indian people and Indian culture, so you're always keeping your eye out for Indian faces. It's just something you really starve for, to be with people like yourself. And there was one time I was on the bus, and there was a young woman sitting there. And I said, oh, it's an Indian lady. I said, I wonder where she's from. And she had a white jumpsuit on with little watermelons on it, and she was reading a book. And I kept seeing her over and over, like on that bus that went cross town to my mother's plant store. And I guess she'd be going to work also. About a year of that, and then a bunch of my friends from the American Indian Community House took me to a rehearsal at La Mama Theater, and there she was, this young woman, and she was singing duet with another woman. I heard her singing, and I said, she sings real nice, so I'd like to sing with her. And eventually we met, and
that's when we actually really started, you know, singing, and
yeah.
I guess with different groups and stuff, with your group at the mm-hmm. time. I think it was 8 pieces. And it was a jazz fusion music. A lot of neat bass runs with good rhythm. It was good. It was electric, and it was wild. And then we took a break.
Yeah.
And I started working at a store in Soho. And Puta Faye came in running one day with her new baby, all squished up. It was freezing cold in December, and she had the baby just strapped to her chest, and she opened it up, and it was her daughter, Nikia, and she was all crinkly from being in her jacket for so long. So that was the beginning of mommyhood. So her daughter, Nikia, was born, and then got pregnant and expected to... I thought I was having a girl, but the last minute I was told it was a boy, so I had to figure out a boy's name. So then it was my son, Dustin, and then Leyland, Puta Faye's son, and then my youngest, Jesse.
Yeah, they dropped out like dominoes. Blip, 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 blip,
blip. Blip.
Oh, yeah, then Sunny and I became seamstresses, and no one would buy our bright colored ribbon shirts. They were just too way out. And
too
so
wild.
That's right. But not for us, so we divided the clothes between us. And eventually, we started singing again. I had a jazz group, and Sunny would sing with me. And one day we got a call to open up for the American Indian Dance Theater and Joy Harjo out at the Powhatan Reservation out in New Jersey. They asked if I would come to sing, and I said, I called, I can't use a jazz group and, you know, electric, you know, opening for them. I said, how about if we take everything and put it down to a drum? And she said, that sounds a good idea. So we started creating songs with just the drum. And we called everyone we could find, like flutes, backup singers, all kinds. Our idea is what you hear now. And that's how it started, and it never stopped, and it just grew, and it's taken us all over. It's taken us home. It's taken us everywhere, in and out of Indian communities from all over the place.
And the neat thing about it is it's not so much like the music that we were doing before, where it was, you know, it was separate from our way of life. This is our life. It's not separated. In other words, it's the way we are, it's the way we live, it's one. And I think it's real special.
Yeah, really special.
Sometimes we write songs together, sometimes we write them separately. Pudafe has done a lot more writing than I have. I learned a lot from her, I think.
Oh, I thank you.
And, you know, in this creating, I can say I didn't really recognize it right away, but just in the basic of the drum, the heartbeat, is a beginning, and then with that comes other sounds, other feelings. So in creating, that's what we usually start with, the beat of the drum, the basic beginning, and then from then on we just open up and start creating.
That's one way.
It's not always like that, but That's one way.
Sometimes we write that way. Sometimes a lyric or a word or a phrase is musical. Sometimes there's something you want to say, and sometimes your heart will bring a melody to it. You know, it's just like the song, I'm Going Home. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going home, I'm going home. So sometimes it just comes together. Sometimes you just have a melody, and then you find words that describe that melody to you. What does that sound like to you? And like Sunny said, sometimes the drum, sometimes just the rhythm itself suddenly calls something out of you to sing, and then maybe words, and
maybe no words sometimes.
Maybe no words, and that's like what they call straight singing, straight songs, where they just sing vocables. And the rattle, you know, rattle has its the same. And sometimes we write on piano.
And sometimes we stop, which is original.
So we have different...
We even wrote a song once in Pathmark. Well, it started at the kitchen table and it continued in Pathmark.
Yeah.
That was Equinox.
No.
Yes, it was.
Was it? I thought it was Summer Solstice.
Oh, it was Summer Solstice. That's
summer
right.
Solstice.
That's what I meant.
You named that. Summer Solstice. Equinox was only written at the kitchen table.
Right.
There's other stuff we do that's not northern.
There's a song that I learned in the Nahuatl language that we used to sing once in a while.
And we did a piece together called The Condor Meets the Eagle that represents North and South as a unity. And we're going to be working with Marcos Arcentales this summer, doing a project called The Condor Meets the Eagle. And that will be a combination of Northern Cree drummers, or singers, I should say, and South American Andean musicians. We're all flying to Canada to work. And then you've got Profe and Sunny, who just sort of do their own crazy stuff. So that's a combination there of native music coming from different directions. I guess the one concert I remember real vivid is the one we just came from out at Shiprock, Arizona. I mean, New Mexico. It's Four Corners area. And out in Navajo land. We did a lot of work out there. But I remember the first concert we did at the school early in the morning. And we got up on the stage. And just to see all those beautiful Indian children's faces just sitting there staring at you, 700 of them. And they were so beautiful, and they were so receptive. And I think I almost started to cry. I think all four of us ladies that were there for the concert to sing really felt the same way. And we were just so thankful to be there. And we went to another high school and did workshops. And at first, the students there looked at us like we were like from outer space, because we were asking them to sing this song, and this was a chorus group. And we wanted to teach them in three-part harmony, Follow Your Heart's Desire. And they were so shy at first, but they finally learned it. And at lunchtime they came back, and they were singing it over and over with us, and by the time it was time for us to leave, they were like hanging on us.
We couldn't leave.
We couldn't get out of there. They were pulling our arms, they were all in our faces, and their eyes are so innocent, just staring at you. And it's like they trust you, and they really love what was happening. And you have to nurture that and take care of that. It was really special.
Mm-hmm. It was really special.
And I think what's good is that what we're bringing to the Indian communities, to the young people and to the older people, what we're doing is coming from our roots. So we're honoring the people that we come from, the land that we come from. And this is something that's really important for the children to grow up with and see that there is pride and that our traditions should not get lost and our lands should not be lost. Everything we have and who we are should not be lost. There's something there to continue for the children to come. And I think that's one of the things that we're getting across. That's what it seems to be. And just taking an interest in who we are and bringing it forward. And that being Indian is good.
It's good. It's not bad.
Right.
Love me and you're up for not despair.
What does it take to make you see I believe in you? A man I can trust in my life. Where do you go when a woman calls out the need in you? Where is